They need a pin? All right. Did y'all get papers when you came in? Okay. Y'all got some? Okay. Here's your couple pins. All right, also, there should be an additional paper if you didn't get one of these. It's just a single paper. It's got the pre-trib return to Christ. If you didn't get one of these, let us know. All right. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, I got pins up here too. If you need pins, I got pins. My wife has pins. We'll wait just another minute. Oh, Daniel? Shannon needs one of those. And you need a pin?
Yes, sir. Somebody that's 11 years old likes to snag my pins and write stuff.
Yeah, I got you.
And they don't find their way back into my mind.
All right, so what you should have is a pen. You should have a Bible. You should have the piece of paper that says pre-trib rapture of the church. You don't have that one, Daniel? We got one right there. And then you should have and then you should have three pieces of paper of the lesson. No, I won't need any visuals. No. Okay, which one do you need, Josh? Hey, Daniel, if you get one of those to Josh up there. All right, so three pieces of paper for the lesson. One piece of paper talking about the timeline. A pen and a Bible. That's what you should have. All right. Danny, she needs one right here. You should have three pieces of paper and then a timeline and a pen and your Bible. Okay. All right. Thank you, Danny. Thank you, Daniel. I appreciate that. If you'd have set them on that back table back there, and if anybody comes in late, we'll just make sure they grab one of those there. All right. What we're going to try to do is we're going to record these messages online like we do on Sunday mornings. And so they'll be on the website, and if you need to go back and do any reviewing or anything else, that'd be fine. So with that said, if you ask a question, which is fine, and I want questions asked. If you ask a question, what I need you to do is say it loud so that I can hear it, and I'll repeat the question back to you so that people who are watching or it's being recorded can hear what's going on with the questions going, okay? With that said, last night we went to try to clear out my ears because my ears get full of junk all the time, and we put some liquid stuff in there trying to clean it out, and it's not done the job. And so what right now is going on is everything that I'm saying is like an echo chamber. Okay, so. Yeah, exactly. So if you ask me a question and I say I don't understand, just repeat it and we'll get through to it. Okay, as soon as I get this stuff out of my ears, I think I feel a whole lot better. Okay, all right. All right, so we're going to begin by having prayer, and then we will get started. Josh, can you? I'm set up there. Everybody can hear me on the speakers. No, it's okay. We'll just keep it like this. Okay. All right. Silence your phones. Whose was it? Yours? Oh, it was yours. Okay. Did you? Yeah. I thought it was because Miss Linda has a bad habit of having her phone not silenced. So. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you for the exciting fact that you are in control and that, Lord, your word is given to us in the English language so that we can study it and know you better. Lord, the times are exciting about what the future holds for us. Lord, I pray tonight as we study and begin this study that it would help us grow closer to you. I pray that it would cause us to want to further study and understand and examine even more. Lord, we love you and we thank you. And we look forward to what you're going to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we'll start in the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. Genesis, chapter number 12, we want to kind of talk about a little bit about what's taking place in Israel. Genesis, chapter number 12. Now, the papers that you have, a lot of you filled out the questionnaire that I asked you to fill out a long while back in the summertime. A lot of you filled out the little questionnaire about things that you wanted to know about end times, okay? So what I did is I contacted Dr. Shoemaker, who's been here and spoke several times, and he told me that he had just got through writing a study guide on 60 questions that people asked about the end times. And so I said, fantastic, can you send me one? So he sent me one. Okay, so the papers that you have are the fill in the blank, and I've got the answer sheets here. Hopefully it'll address all the questions that have been asked, because all the questions that were written and given to me are covered in this study. Okay, so while we're going through the study, if you have additional questions, this is the time to ask them. Okay, this is not me lecturing and you sitting there just writing things down. This is us participating one with another and asking questions and something that maybe you come across that we hadn't thought about. And we'll do that. That's the kind of study that we're going to do. Okay? So this is not just me lecture. This is a whole participation. And if you have a question, ask it. If you have a comment, make it. Okay? Realizing that somebody else in the room may have the exact same kind of question that you've got. Okay? All right? So we need to understand that that's where we're going to go with it. Now, you know me, all right? Just because we have three pieces of paper does not work, means we're going to get through three pieces of paper tonight, okay? All right? We may get through the first one. That's okay. We're not in a gigantic hurry. This has just helped us to guide along, okay? So don't hesitate if you have any questions whatsoever. All right, so Genesis chapter 12, we're going to start there. Genesis chapter number 12. This is very important for us to understand how end times come about. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, not Abraham, he hasn't been Abraham yet. Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Okay, so God is calling Abram to a land, the promised land. And he's telling Abram, I'm going to show you this. So in other words, God is saying, this is going to be your land. How many of you understand if God promises that he's going to give you something, that he's going to give you that something, that whatever he says? Okay? All right? When God promises something, he always keeps his promise. Regardless of what man does. Regardless of what man claims, regardless of what man figures out, if God makes a promise, God keeps a promise. Verse number 2. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. So he promises Abram that he's going to make him a great nation of numerous people. Okay, we're going to see throughout as we continue the study, not tonight necessarily, but how God promised that Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. Okay? Verse number 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So God makes some promises right here to Abram. What nation did Abram become the father of? Israel. Okay? So God is making the promises to Abram, thereby making the promises to Israel. Now, the promises that he's making to Israel here are not necessarily political Israel. Israel, the people, and Israel, the political, are sometimes completely different. Okay? The policies and political aspects of Israel are not necessarily what God wants. If you look into the policies of politics of Israel, they're not necessarily what's pleasing to the Lord. The promise that he's making is to the Jewish people, the Israelite people, not to necessarily Israelite country policy-wise. Okay? It's very you got to understand that's very distinctive. So when God says he's going to bless Abram and those who curse Abram, he's going to curse, that's talking about the Jewish people. What's going on right now is that everybody other than the United States and a few other countries hates Israel. And they want to do everything they can to wipe Israel off the map. But when God promised Abram that he was going to give him a land, no matter what man says, that land belongs to Israel and nobody else. Okay? And all of Israel. Do you recognize from the maps that we're seeing on TV now, the Gaza Strip and all those things that are taking place, that land belongs to Israel, not to the Palestinians. And then some of the Syrians and all those kinds of things, the land that a lot of them are disputing belongs to Israel, not the other countries. That's why they're so angry. That's why the fighting is taking place, because they want to wipe Israel off the map. And therefore, if Israel's wiped off the map, then they can come in and take over, and there is really no God. Let me tell you this. If Israel's wiped off the map, then God has lied. And if God has lied, we have no hope. So, is God going to keep Israel, Israel? Yes. He has to. Otherwise, he's a liar. Okay? That land belongs to Israel, not anybody else. Now, that should excite you. Because all the things that are taking place over there nowadays, they're pointing to what's going to happen during the tribulation period, pointing to what's going to happen. But all the promises God made to Israel, he made to Israel, and the church is not a replacement for Israel. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit, okay? There's some people who believe that when the church came into existence, that it replaced Israel. And that's not what happened. The promises God made to Israel will be fulfilled. And we'll get more into that later on as we study through here, okay? I'm just trying to introduce you and help you kind of... So anytime you see a promise, here's my suggestion. Anytime you see a promise that God makes to Israel, underline it or put a star beside it. Because those are things that are going to be fulfilled in the future. And those things have not happened yet. So that tells me these are going to happen. Okay? All right, so everybody following me so far. All right. As we do this study, it's not necessarily going to be a chronological study. In other words, it's not going to go from point A to point Z in order. We're going to hit on subjects that are different things about the end times, eschatology, and those kind of things. It won't necessarily be in, so don't get discouraged. Well, I'd want to study, well, we'll get to it. But it's going to be different points in the study. Okay? All right, so, with that said, get this piece of paper out right here. The single sheet of paper. You can use this to make additional notes if you want to and those kinds of things. All right? Here at Victory Baptist Church, we are a premillennial, pre-trib Baptist church. Okay? In other words, we believe that the rapture of the church will take place before the tribulation period, and that the tribulation period takes place before the millennial period begins. So that's what that means, okay? The premillennial, pre-trib, that's what we mean. So on the piece of paper, it gives you a timeline, okay? The pre-tribulational return of Christ. You see the first part, it says the past ages, and all the past ages, the entire Old Testament up to the ascension or the descension of Christ when he came, the first advent. So if you want to write right where the cross is and write, put an arrow and put first advent. First advent, A-D-V-E-N-T. The first advent. In other words, that's the first time that Christ set foot on this earth. Okay? The first advent, if you want to put it at the cross period, that's what he was born, lived, and died at the cross period. Okay, so we're going to put that first advent. Now, if I say first advent, what does that tell you? That there's going to be what? Another advent. If I just said the advent, that means there was no more. So that tells us there's going to be another advent. Another Christ coming to the earth, literally. All right? That has not happened yet. That will happen. Okay? All right, you also see where it says the church age. It's got the next block right there, the church age. That's where we are right now. We are in the church age. Okay, so if you want to put an arrow right there and put right now how far we are into the church age, we don't know for sure, but it's looking awful close to where the rapture of the church takes place. Okay, we're going to talk about the rapture tonight. All right, you see the next point, the arrow pointing up, the rapture. That's the next great event in the history of mankind, is the rapture. There's nothing greater going to take place until the rapture. It affects all of mankind. All right, just like the flood affected all of mankind, the first advent affected all of mankind, the rapture of the church is going to affect all of mankind. And we'll talk about that. Then you see the tribulation period. It kind of got scratched out there a little bit. It's a little bit darker. The tribulation period is broken up into 2 3.5-year periods. And we'll talk about that. All right, you see the middle spot right there. 3.5 years and then the great tribulation. The tribulation period is when the Antichrist is revealed. Okay? If somebody says now to you, I know who the Antichrist is because he has been revealed, they're not telling you the truth because the Antichrist will not be revealed until the tribulation period. Okay? So if anybody says, I know who it is, they don't know who it is because it hadn't been revealed yet. But it will be. Okay? So don't worry about it. Okay? Don't worry about it right now. Matter of fact, it won't affect you. Exactly. Exactly right. The mark of the beast. Who's heard of the mark of the beast? Okay? You do not have to worry about the mark of the beast. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to have to make that choice. All right? The only people that are going to have to worry about the mark of the beast are those who are going to be alive during the tribulation period and here on this earth. All right? People will have to choose. But if you know Christ, you don't have to choose because it happens during the tribulation period. And we'll talk about that more, okay? Then you see at the end of the tribulation period, you see the second advent. See where it says Christ returns in glory? Right next to that line, put second advent. That's when Jesus comes back to the earth to rule and reign during a millennial period. Okay? Who's ever heard of the millennial period? What does the word millennial mean? 1,000 years. 1,000-year reign of Christ. That's what that's talking about. Okay, so the second advent is when Jesus literally comes back to earth and rules for 1,000 years. Okay, after that 1,000-year reign is when Satan gets one last chance. He gets out of the pit of hell, and they try to come against Jesus Christ one more time. And that's where the blood and all that stuff comes from, Revelation chapter number 20. And we'll get to that eventually, okay? The great white throne judgment takes place after the 1,000-year reign. But we'll get to all that. Don't freak out and, oh, I can't understand all this. We'll get there, okay? We'll get there. But I'm just trying to give you just the outline of what's taking place, okay? That after when Satan is defeated, after the millennial reign and the big battle of Armageddon takes place, then everything's brand new. The earth is made brand new. It's just a beautiful, wonderful place. We sing Kumbaya and sleep all day long. But we'll get to that eventually, okay? So, any questions up to this moment? I've just kind of given you a brief outline. Any questions up to this moment? Okay. Here's what I want you to write down at the very top of this right here. Okay? Very top of this. I'm going to be referring to this all the time. Yes, Daniel.
I do have a question.
Yes.
The rapture is not the second advent?
No. The rapture is not the second advent.
He's not coming.
He's not going to be physically come to this earth. Exactly right. And we're going to learn about that tonight. Good question. The rapture is not the second advent. Correct. Right. The second advent or the second coming is the same exact thing. Okay, and we'll learn about that. At the top of your paper, I want you to write this. We believe in a literal translation of the Bible. A literal, literal. It means, I believe if it says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it says it happened, it happened. Okay? We don't make allegories or anything else out of the Scriptures. All right? A literal interpretation of the Scriptures. It's going to be very key to that right there. You'll see as we get further into the study what that really means. Okay, so a literal translation of the Bible. If the Bible says that Jesus came to earth, he literally came to earth. If Jesus was a man, it says he was in human form. Okay, we believe in that literal translation of the Bible. Okay, very good. All right, any other questions before we get started? All right, good. So let's look at the very first part here. Questions concerning the rapture. Questions concerning the rapture. In a world that is increasingly more wicked, unsafe, and challenging for believers, Christians everywhere are longing for the Lord's return. The rapture is the next event on God's prophetic calendar. Circle the word believers. Circle the word believers. Why? Do you think I want you to circle the word believers? That's the only ones going to be participating in the rapture. Not everybody participates in the rapture of the church. If it's your neighbor down the street who pays millions of dollars and gets the roads repaved and gives candy to everybody and is so sweet and so nice, but they don't know Jesus Christ their Savior, they're not part of the rapture. Regardless of sex, gender, religion, race, got nothing to do with it. Either you know Jesus Christ is your Savior and you're a believer, or you're a non-believer and you don't have heaven as your home. Okay? So the rapture is for believers. Okay? It's for believers. So number one, what does the word rapture mean? The word rapture is taken from a Latin verb, which means to catch up and carry off. The word rapture is a Latin word. It's a Latin verb, very first blank there, under letter A. The word rapture is derived from a Latin verb, which means to catch up and carry off. That's what the word rapture comes from. Okay, you will not find the word rapture in the Bible. The word rapture comes from a Latin word meaning to catch up, to carry off. Okay, that's where the word rapture comes from. And in context of Scripture, it refers to transporting believers from one place to another. Believers. So the next blank is on there. It says, in context of Scripture, it refers to transporting believers. Okay? So the word caught up is what rapture comes from. The catching up. The taking away. The sudden taking away. There's a lot of people that say, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible. So if it's not in the Bible, then I can't believe it. All right? You'll see here that there's several different words that are the same thing. You'll see the word Trinity. What does Trinity mean? Three in one. And when you speak of the Trinity, what are you speaking of? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Do you find the word Trinity anywhere in the Bible? No. The concept and the principle is there, but you never find the word Trinity. All right? The word dinosaur. What does dinosaur mean? Do what? Great lizard. Great lizard. How many of you know there were dinosaurs? We see it in the book of Job. You see, Leviathan is a word for dinosaur, okay? Some people say, well, it's not in the Bible, so therefore I don't believe it. The word dinosaur was not coined until after 1611. Okay, so the word dinosaur, just because it's not in the Bible, doesn't mean they didn't exist. So everybody following along with that, okay? The principles are found there, but just because that word's not there. How about the word grandfather? Anybody ever heard the word grandfather? What is a grandfather? Your father's father. All right? Did you know you can't find the word grandfather in the Bible? Does that mean grandfathers don't exist? No, okay? So that's some people use those arguments. So some people say because the word rapture is not in the Bible, it's not a true event. Yes, it is. Okay, so that's, I want to kind of help you understand that. All right, so look at letter B. Letter B. The Scriptures speak of six raptures. Six times a catching up takes place. Six. S-I-X. That's a letter B. Scripture speaks of six raptures. Okay, all right. So let's look at the very first one. Go to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5 talks about the first rapture. Okay? Now, what does the word rapture mean, class? Catching up or taking away sudden. A sudden taking away or sudden catching up. All right? Genesis chapter 5, verse number 24. Genesis chapter 5, verse number 24. It says, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 360 and 5 years. We thought 80 and 90 was old, 365 years. Anybody want to live 365 years? No. How many of you want to drag these old bodies all over the earth for 365 years? Not me. All right? And Enoch walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God, by the way? What does it mean to walk with God? To serve Him. What else? To know Him, to fellowship with Him, to listen to Him, to follow Him, to believe in Him and do as He says. To walk with God. To have the close, an ultimate close relationship. You know, the Bible says that it's impossible to walk with somebody without having a close relationship with them. Okay? So Enoch walked with God. He had a special relationship with God. But then it says, Enoch walked with God, verse 24, and he was not, for God took him. Underline that phrase, took him. That's the same phraseology that we get rapture from, catching away. Enoch was there one day, And then he was gone the next day. He walked with God every day, and God said, okay, come with me. Caught him up. All right? He was raptured. 365 years old, he was raptured. Okay? So Enoch was raptured up. All right, go to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Right after 1 Kings. Okay? I love that joke, but it's good. 2 Kings chapter number 2. Second Kings chapter number 2. Verse number 1. Now Elijah is a prophet, and he is working for the Lord and doing what God wants him to do, and he's been doing prophecies and all kinds of things. But God determines that it's for him to come up to heaven. Verse number 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven. Take up. What do you think the word take up means? Rapture. He's going to take Elijah up into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. So Elijah's headed to Gilgal. Elisha is going with him. All right? So they go there. They're headed that direction. They're doing all kinds of things. And it talks about verses 1 to 10, all these things taking place. Now look at verse number 11. And it came to pass, as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them asunder, means divided them, Elijah from Elisha, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. A chariot of fire with horses of fire came down, swooped down, kind of like a UFO. You've been hearing all these stories about UFOs. All right. Now, I don't know if that was what it looked like back then or not, but it's pretty awesome. Swoop down, Elijah on this side, Elisha on this side. Come on, let's go, Elijah. Hop in. Hopped in the chariot. Went up. Didn't die. He was taken up by a chariot of fire. Now, do you really believe that happened? I mean, honestly, a chariot of fire? Come on now. A chariot of fire with horses on fire actually left heaven, came down here, picked him up, and took him off. Do you really believe that? That's what it means, a literal translation. It literally happened. Now, yes, Daniel?
Since you brought it up.
Yes.
Try to explain away the rapture.
Yes.
That when we all are called to heaven, us believers, that it was UFOs.
That it was UFOs to finally come and get people.
Yes.
Exactly right.
And that's why they're pushing so hard now, all that UFO mess.
Very possibly could be. But they're gonna explain it. We're gonna be all taken up by aliens. There you go. Exactly. I haven't. Now I've seen folks from other countries, aliens, but I've never seen a spaceman. Okay. All right, Jack.
I've seen this happen.
Exactly right. Yeah. When I go to heaven, I don't want to be on a rocket ship. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So literally, a chariot with fire came down from heaven, picked up Elijah and took him up, raptured him. Okay, raptured him. All right, let's go to another one. Go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1, another taking away. Acts chapter number 1. All right. All right, Daniel, since I'm going to pick on you, but that's okay. Who wrote the book of Acts? Don't say Acts.
Luke,
very good. Luke, there you go. All right, don't say Acts. Acts didn't write Acts, okay? Acts is named for the actions of the disciples during that time after Jesus left the earth, okay? That's why they call it Acts. Acts of the disciples, okay? That's where you get the word Acts from. All right, Acts chapter number 1, verse number 9. Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. Jesus is meeting with the disciples, okay? And he's instructing them and teaching them. Verse number 9. And when he, speaking of Jesus, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, raptured, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards where?
Heaven.
As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, and they said, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." Very important verse. He's leaving, but he's coming back. The angels promised it. As you see him go up, you're going to see him come right back. Just like that, eventually one day. Okay? He was raptured up. He was caught up into heaven. Okay? All right. Let's talk about the fourth rapture. Okay? The fourth rapture. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. All right, so who was the first rapture?
Enoch.
All right, who was the second rapture? And how did Elijah get raptured up? Chariots of fire. All right, third rapture, who was it?
Jesus.
Okay, he ascended up into heaven. All right, let's look at the fourth rapture, 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse number 2 to 4. All right, well, we'll start in verse number 1. By the way, who wrote Corinthians, 2 Corinthians?
Paul
did. The Apostle Paul. Okay? The Apostle Paul. So he writes, verse number 1, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." Now, Paul, this is very unusual. Pay attention here. "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago." So this event that he's describing took place 14 years previous to when he was writing this letter. All right? And in parentheses, he kind of gives you some background. He says, "Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows." So he says, 14 years ago, this event happened. He says, "I don't know if it happened in the body, and I'm not sure if it happened out of the body, but God knows." So he's given you kind of a background of what took place. So 14 years ago, this event happened. Okay? And what event is that? "Such a one," what's the next two words? Caught up. Caught up. What's that same phraseology? Known as a rapture. Raptured up to the third heaven. And he says, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise, and he heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. For I will say the truth, for now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me." So this man he is talking about, 14 years previous to writing, was caught up into the third heavens. And where is the third heaven? Which heaven is that? up above the stars. And who lives up above the stars? God does. So this man was raptured up into heaven. So, who was that man? The Apostle Paul himself. The Apostle Paul was written. That's why he says, I don't know if I was in my body or if I was out of my body. I don't know. But I was raptured up. Now, here's the unusual thing. Paul's the only one to return from a rapture. Okay? He was raptured up. What he saw, and then he was raptured back down. Now, the Apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, it says that he was given a vision, but it never says he was raptured up. It just says that he was given a vision of what was taking place. Paul was actually caught up to heaven. Now, come on. Really? Was he on some drugs? Was he alcoholic? Was he imagining things? Did he have a seizure? How many really believe that Paul really went to that third heaven? Yeah. Because it says so. Exactly right. We believe in a literal translation. If Paul says it happened, it happened. Okay, it says. So Paul himself, it says, a man in Christ, letter D, a man in Christ, most likely Paul himself. Most likely Paul himself. So how many raptures is that? Four.
I have a question.
Yes.
The parentheses part, is that, why are they a parentheses?
Okay, good question, great question. When you see parentheses, now remember, when the Bible was written in Greek and Aramaic and Hebrew, there was no punctuation. Matter of fact, it was mostly read from right to left. We read left to right. All right? And we read from the beginning to the end. Greek, which most of this was written in, is right to left and from the end to the beginning. Like, we'd be all backwards and no punctuation. So when Paul wrote these words, he was just writing it, and you didn't know when it stopped and when it started. And so when they started putting the words into English, all right, they inserted paragraphs and they inserted punctuation marks so that Paul could, he was explaining what the background behind what he was talking about. So anytime when you're talking about English language, all right, anytime you see a parenthesis, it's telling you some background about what the main subject is talking about. So Paul, when he got to this point, he made sure that the readers understood that what he was talking about, he wasn't quite sure about. So he put that, now he didn't put parentheses, but when it was written into English, they put parentheses so that people would understand it. Okay, yes, Miss Martha? He that's what he's unsure of. He could have been in a dream. He could have been, it could have literally mean his body actually went up to heaven. Or it could have been he was seeing a vision and in a dream. He doesn't know. So that's why he's not saying, I definitively know this, but it happened. And then it talks about later on when you see him talking about when he was a thorn in the flesh was given to him. When it talks about that, most people believe his thorn in the flesh was his eyesight. Or his, I believe the reason God gave him a thorn in the flesh is that he could not glory in what he saw. See, when Paul went to heaven, he actually went to heaven. He saw it. But he never could tell what took place in heaven. Because he said mankind could not handle that. Yes, ma'am? Yes, ma'am. Exactly right.
It doesn't matter.
Exactly. He says, I'm not sure what happened, how I there. He says, but it really doesn't matter because I got to go. So you don't have to fear. You don't have to fear about it. Very good point. I'm glad you brought that up. He says, listen, it doesn't matter how I was there. I was there. All right. We'll have a brand new physical body. Yes, ma'am. A lot better than we got right now. Amen. But here's a question for you. How many of you have ever read the books about somebody who went to heaven and talked about what they saw when they came back? You've heard of those books. Okay? Do not believe a word they say. Don't do it. Don't take that for gospel. Okay? Number one, it was written by a human being, not by God. Number two, Paul went to heaven, and he never wrote down what he saw. Evidently, it was too miraculous and too fantastic for people to understand. And so he didn't come back. And by the way, he didn't make any money off of writing these letters. The people who went to heaven and came back, now I'm sure they had some kind of a experience. It could have been heaven, but they made lots of money. Oh yeah, if Paul could have done it, yeah, he'd have made a lot of money. So Paul, and the only one that we know about that literally described heaven to us was the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. And we'll get to that. Okay? So
he was granted sight
into heaven.
Rapture.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yes, ma'am?
I know it's not in the King James Version, but have you ever read the
Phenom? I've read bits and pieces of it, yes, ma'am. Matter of fact, the book of Jude talks about it also, yes. It's a reliable source, but it's not actually in the canon of Scripture. That doesn't mean it's not reliable that you can't get some knowledge from it, but it's not part of the canon of Scripture. But yes, the book of Enoch talks about that. Yes. Matter of fact, in the book of Jude, Jude refers to the book of Enoch. Talks about some of the things that Enoch said. So we talked about it in our Sunday school class. I'm glad you brought that up. Okay? All right, so four raptures. Now let's look at two more. Two more raptures. That means these are still to come. Go to Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter number 11. Now the Revelation chapter 11 takes place during the tribulation period. This event that we're going to read about has not happened yet. Okay? It's going to happen, but it hasn't taken place yet. It happens right about in the middle of the tribulation period. Okay? Revelation chapter number 11. And here John was speaking, and here was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood and said this, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out. Don't include that and don't measure it. For it is given unto the Gentiles and unto the holy city to tread underfoot 40 and 2 months. So how long is 40 and 2 months? About 3.5 years. So about 3.5 years into the tribulation period, this event takes place. All right? Now go to verse number 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. 1,260. How many is 60?
60.
So 1,260. How many days is that? How many years is that?
3.5 years.
So these two witnesses that he's talking about are going to be prophesying about Jesus Christ, about God, for 3.5 years. Okay, they're going to be prophesying. These two witnesses. All right? Go down to verse number 11. Verse number 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and a great fear fell upon them which saw them. Well, let's go back to verse number 4 so we can understand that better. Okay? So they're 3.5 years they're prophesying. Verse number 4. These are the 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before God of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire will proceed out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So for that 3.5 years, people approach them and tell them to shut up. Tell them to stop preaching, to stop telling about God. And it says that fire proceeds out of their mouth. Now, come on. Really? Nah, that's just allegory. They're going to say some mean things and the people are going to run away. How do you really believe that fire is going to proceed out of their mouths? Does it say it? And so we believe in what type of translation? Literal. If you really, literally believe that a chariot of fire came down and picked up Elijah, then this fire proceeding from these 2 witnesses got to happen. Okay? All right. So when anybody tries to affect them, they burn them up. All right? Verse number 6. These 2 witnesses, they have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters that are turned into blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. They can turn the rains on and off, and they can make the water turn to blood. Come on. No way. How many of you really believe that? Because it says it. Okay? Yeah, exactly. The Egyptians tried and they couldn't quite do it, could they? All right. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So after 3.5 years, the beast, Antichrist and the beast, we'll learn about them, they make a war. They have some kind of a battle. And he kills them. Okay? He kills them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. All right? The great city. Los Angeles, New York, Chicago, Jerusalem. When you see the word great city in the New Testament, specifically in the book of Revelation, it's always speaking of Jerusalem. So these events are taking place in Jerusalem. So these 2 witnesses are prophesying, the beast takes them out, kills them, and their bodies lay in the street. All right, as the bodies are laying in the street, look what happens. And they of the people, I'm sorry, verse number 8, and they lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. Okay, so it's another identification of where it happened. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3.5 days and shall not suffer their bodies to be put in the graves. So their bodies lay there for 3.5 days after this event takes place. And they that dwell upon the earth, now look, this is sick. And they that dwell upon the earth, everybody who's alive, shall rejoice over them. And they're going to make merry. They're going to have parties. And they're going to send gifts one to another because these 2 prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. For 3.5 days, everybody parties. They send each other gifts saying they're dead. They're no longer prophesying. We don't have to listen to their garbage anymore. They celebrate the death of these 2 people. Wow. Just like the despicable acts that we have recently seen happen in Jerusalem right now. Happening in Israel. The dead bodies that they were dragging through the streets these last couple days. Celebrating them. I remember the army helicopter getting shot down, Mogadishu. And them taking those army pilots and dragging their bodies through Mogadishu. and everybody's hollering, they're all hollering and celebrating. Doesn't it make your stomach turn? They're celebrating it because they're dead. We don't have to listen to their garbage anymore. Look at this. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them. Woo-hoo-hoo! And they stood upon their feet. Now, here's the obvious. And great fear fell upon them which saw them. Wow. All of a sudden, they're celebrating, throwing gifts. Yes! And all of a sudden, they come back to life. What do you think people were thinking? Oh, no. Because remember, the times that they were attacked before, what usually happened to those people who were attacking them? They got burned up. They're like, oh no, we're dead. They stand up and they come back to life. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And at the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. An earthquake takes place, and they head up to heaven. And what's that called when you're head up to heaven like that? Raptured. And as soon as they got to heaven, they're standing there, look around, all of a sudden an earthquake takes place, and 7,000 people are killed in Jerusalem. Okay? Now, here's how we know that this is a future event. This has not happened yet. The two witnesses have not appeared. All right? The earthquake has not taken place. People not burn up by two people with fire coming out of their mouths. So either that's literally going to happen, or it's just allegory. So if it hasn't happened yet, what does that tell you? It's going to happen. Okay? You can count on it. It's a future event. All right, so how many raptures is that? Five. Do what? Yes. It should say the two witnesses during the tribulation period, Revelation chapter 11, 3, 11, and 12. So the Revelation tribulation period is the answer for A. Letter B, the rapture of, what do you think? The church or believers. Believers. The rapture of believers. Okay? The rapture of believers. And believers in what? In ice cream? The Easter bunny? Believers in what? Jesus Christ. What were you going to say, Daniel? Before the tribulation period, right. That's why I say this is not necessarily in chronological order. Okay? So go to Revelation chapter 4. Elijah, could be Moses, could be John the Baptist. Right, right. Or Elijah or John the Baptist. So those are the ones that we'll get to them. We'll get to them. But that's a very good question. Shannon? They're in the tribulation period for the first 3.5 years during the tribulation period. No, we won't see them. We won't see it. Now, we'll be in heaven, and we do know that when we're in heaven, we will see things taking place on earth. We will see that because in the book of Revelation, it talks about the people who were saved and martyred during this tribulation period. They will be crying out to God, saying, God, when will you avenge us? Because they're looking down to heaven and to earth and seeing the events taking place. So we do know during the tribulation period, we'll see these things. But it does not say our emotions, it doesn't say necessarily, but we will see what's taking place. Okay, we will see it. All right, Revelation chapter number 4. Verse number 1. And I looked, John says, and behold, the door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. And this is what it said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. And it begins to describe what he saw of God. But here's the key. He says, come up hither. All right, come up hither. Come up. Doesn't say rapture, it just says come up into heaven. So John was not raptured necessarily. Evidently he came up in some manner. We're not 100% sure about that. So we'll talk about that more as we get into it later. Okay? So you see that. All right, next page. It's 7 o'clock. I told you we wouldn't get through everything. Do what? Oh, yeah, I'll do more than 6 weeks, but this first series will go through 6 weeks because then we get into the holidays and all those other things taking place. So we're going to plan for 6 weeks, and then after the first year, we'll start it back up again. So there's no way we can cover everything in 6 weeks. Yes. Yes. Right. Exactly right. They have no idea what it means to be. Yeah, exactly right. When I was growing up, I've told you this, I never went to church, had no exposure to who Jesus Christ was. But I knew a bunch of people who went to church, went to a Catholic church. And so they were my friends, so I assumed I was a Christian because I was a friend of people who went to a church. Does that make me a Christian?
No.
That's about as much sense as standing in a car, in a garage, and claiming to be a car. Okay?
There's a whole lot of people that claim to be Christian that are going to miss it by 18 inches.
From the head to their heart, exactly right. You must trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior to be a believer, to be a Christian.
Amen.
Okay? All right? That's what it means to be a believer. All right? Next week, we'll get into, does the word rapture appear in the Bible? We saw the word no, okay? When will the rapture occur? We'll talk about that next week. When is the rapture going to happen? Okay?
Soon.
We'll discuss that because, guess what? You can know when it's going to happen. We'll talk about it next week. Okay? All right, let's pray. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Daniel, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?